This is Rights.Tech. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Theodore Garcia. Theodore, how are you?
I am well, sir, and yourself?
Great. Who are you and what do you do?
I am Executive Vice President of FilmTrack, and I have responsibility for FilmTrack strategy and development. So I am more or less the proverbial farmer at FilmTrack. I plant the seeds of opportunity that may take a year or more to gestate. And in that portfolio of responsibilities, I lead our alliances and the technical integration partners that FilmTrack works with.
Theodore, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with rights management?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is that companies that are owning intellectual property are not effectively monetizing that intellectual property. If you just look at what the value is of that intellectual property, as assessed by companies like PwC and Deloitte, it's measured in the trillions of dollars. I think in 2016, that value of IP from a spending perspective was about $4.2 trillion. However, when you look at the value as evaluated by the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, that same intellectual property is valued at over $7 trillion. So that would lead to some assumptions around what type of money is being left on the table. So we're talking serious dollars here. These challenges are rooted in the fact that there is exceptionally increased complexity, especially in digital media. These new distribution channels and these new markets and emerging markets have created exceptionally complex contracts and bundling of content that, again, becomes more complex. The demands around global channel management and intellectual property management itself have become more complicated. And the technology, for the most part, is a laggard. Technology is playing a catch-up to the markets themselves. So companies are investing in new technologies, but this is in response to these ever-increasing and complex markets. I think another challenge is that there is limited visibility into the performance of the licensees around the globe. So this then is a hindrance to that effective management of the IP itself. I think when we look at some of the successes that we've seen with rights management, it's really when companies begin to look at their content as a portfolio, and they begin to break down the barriers between film and television and home entertainment and music and gaming, etc. And they're looking at how they're going to deploy these assets across the globe, across all channels, so that at any given time, they are attempting to fully exploit that portfolio of assets to its maximum potential. Because if they're not, that's money that they're never going to be able to get back. It's money that's left on the table. So when companies begin to manage that product across all their channels, across all these platforms, they begin to make smart decisions around the scarce resources that they have. And these scarce resources are around the factor that their core operations may not be as effective. They may not have a technology in place to manage this effectively. They may not have a trusted ecosystem of partners that enable them to monetize content effectively. But when companies are embracing technologies, I think that you're seeing successes.
What is changing with rights management or needs to change?
Especially around digital media distribution and the new channels of monetization, this has led to increasingly automated and relatively disintermediated rights trading. So what does that mean? It means that there's many parties involved in the digital media value chain that requires a digital transformation of sorts. But as companies have made these investments, we begin to see optimized services, we begin to see rationalized processes, we begin to see more organizational efficiency. This in turn has, what I would say, disintermediated some of the proverbial middlemen. And you see a lot of the major studios now reaching out and connecting directly to their consumer. This has been a challenge for content creators that are not necessarily a brand, right? So you're beginning to see these virtual marketplaces start up that allows for the IP owner to connect directly with the consumer, allowing for a relationship to be formed. This is when you look at what happened with the music industry. in the music industry itself, there was lots of money being made, but the music labels were making the money. There were other people in place. So the major studios, major film, television content creators don't want to go down the, or didn't want to go down the same path as the music labels. So they needed to build these relationships. And I think that's what's going on. What you're seeing now is tools that are allowing for companies to clear rights and to create a commercial relationship faster, cheaper, better.
Theodore, what advice would you like to share with people interested in rights management?
I think that content creators need to manage their content profitably across all business units, all channels, all platforms. They need to ensure that they're aligning finance operations, asset management operations, and rights coupled together with effective business processes and technologies. And I look at it from a rights management perspective, the three R's. Number one would be around repositioning rights management, to align rights management as a core system that informs other systems downstream. Media and entertainment companies have been very successful when they create what I call deal optimization opportunities, allowing efficiencies that enable effective distribution and basically reduce the liability of selling products outside of the scope of the rights that they have. Number two is around reconstructing rights dimensions. It is in linear broadcast, rights management was fairly straightforward. In the world of digital, you need to redefine those rights dimensions that facilitate the complexities of these modern contracts and the distribution channels that are emerging. So media and entertainment companies that are creating a more fluid way of working, implementing standardized terminology in the rights dimensions themselves, will in turn enable more automation. What I would opine is opportunities for increased profit potential, particularly in some of these lower fee deals. You know, it's one thing to have a global distribution deal, but when you're looking at niche markets, when you're looking at sort of micro transactions that are occurring, you need to be as efficient as possible. And then the final R would be around reuniting rights data. And this is about creating a centralized, accurate, and I would say a globally accessible rights database that allows enterprise level clients and all the people that work in those organizations to basically very efficiently and effectively synergize among the business units in order to create diverse offerings. So in other words, when we look at pulling down the silos between, you know, film and television and home entertainment, we always hear studio executives say that we want to give our customers what they want, when they want it, in the devices that they want, at any time, anywhere, globally, right? Well, in order to do that, you've got to have the ability to reunite those rights at the core of their enterprise so they can effectively monetize that content.
Theodore, where can we find more information about rights management?
Well, FilmTrack works with a variety of consulting partners. And so certainly any of the major consulting firms will have subject matter specialists that can provide information around rights management and the technologies that can be deployed. Certainly companies like FilmTrack that are technology providers around rights management can be a source of information around how to leverage tools for effective rights management. There are two organizations that I go to. One is the World Intellectual Property Organization, otherwise known as WIPO, and the other one is IPW, which is the Intellectual Property Watch. These organizations provide information around trends in sort of the geopolitical state of rights management, the legal state of rights management, and the governmental oversight of rights management.
Well, thanks, Theodore.
My pleasure.
For more on this, visit rights.tech. Thanks again.